Hello there, my name is David Frey and I'm joined in the studio by...
Josh Sharples.
Hello, you're listening to the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and on DAB Plus Digital Radio as well. Don't forget, we also have a podcast, so just search your podcast platform for the HIV Hour and you can listen to past episodes, of which there are over 150 now to choose from.
A lot, isn't it?
Yeah. So how are you doing, Josh?
Yeah, nice to see you, David, again in the studio. And thanks for tuning in tonight to the show. I'm all right. It's nice to have some decent weather. It's starting to get a bit warmer.
Isn't it? I nearly wore my shorts today.
Spring is springing.
Not quite. Nearly.
Spring is springing.
Yeah. So we met yesterday.
Yeah, we went to a really good thing, didn't we, yesterday? Could you just describe it, David?
Yeah, so it was an event organised by the Fast Track Cities Stigma Group in Brighton and Hove, and it was hosted by the wonderful people at Lunch Positive and organised by their CEO, Gary Pargeter, and Eileen Nixon, who is from the Rawson unit.
Yes.
So it was an event gathering stakeholders from across the city. In fact, 84 people attended.
It was really well attended, wasn't it? Yeah. I thought. Yeah. Everyone was pleased, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And not just HIV organisations as well. It was organisations like Older and Out, for example, because... You know, HIV does affect
everybody. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
And it was good to, because the Brighton and Hove City Council was, councillor was there, Mitchie Alexander, wasn't
yes.
she?
Yes.
And I really enjoyed what she was saying. But we'll talk about that later, won't we?
Just yeah, it's nice to hear that the council are really committed to sort of reducing zero HIV transmissions within the city and creating a stigma-free city for people living with HIV and everybody.
It's a charter, isn't it? Is it a charter? Is that what they call it?
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll talk about that later anyway.
Yes, we can.
Well, how are you anyways, apart from
yeah, that? I'm good. So I'm got things to look forward to. So we're both going to the British HIV Association conference, the spring conference in Liverpool. So I'm really looking forward
to that.
That's
in June.
Yeah, we've applied to go to...
It's not in April, sorry.
It's in April, end of April. So we went to the one in Brighton, which was really handy because it was on our doorstep last year.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to going this year.
Yeah, there's lots coming up, actually. It's starting to... build up, isn't it, in the city and nationwide about all different things and conferences, Stigma Day and stuff. So shall we just get on with the show and then we'll come back with a bit of, well, chat about yesterday.
Everything to do with HIV?
Everything, yes.
Yeah. Go on then.
Yes, all right. So I chose this today. It's Destiny by 07, which I absolutely, the album is amazing. It's their first album they've
done. Fantastic album.
Yeah, so we'll see you after Destiny. Wow, that was amazing. Oh, I love that song.
It was. That brings us up memories. I used to listen to that album loads.
Yeah, it was 2000s, wasn't it, that day?
Yeah. 20 years old.
I know, but that's Sia who's singing on that, I think, isn't it? We're having Sia later.
Yes, we had her on the... Well, we played her music last week on the International Women's Day episode.
Great voice. So welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM, RadioReverb.com. Just want to say that, you know, we're touching hearts, changing minds and sharing stories about HIV. So we just want to get that out there. And if you want to go on our website, it's hiv.org.uk. Also, if you wanted to send us an email, it's info@hivhour.org.uk. So, just check us out. And there's lots of information on there. And if you want us to older shows... there's links on there, isn't there, David?
Yes, there is, yeah. And really, thank you for listening, listeners. We do appreciate you tuning in, listening to us and getting in touch. And we had some fantastic feedback from the International Women's Day episode.
Yeah, I heard that, because I wasn't part of... Well, you know, I think I
yeah,
was...
Yeah, well, it was all the girls in charge. And I was hiding under the desk.
Yeah, you were hiding. So my chair's squeaking, so I do apologise. I might have to change the next musical interlude.
I thought it was you.
No, it's not me.
No, okay.
I'm a bit squeaky today.
All right.
Also, we are supported and are sponsored by Jack Russell Technologies. So,
yes, thank you. And the station itself is sponsored by Wave Community Bank.
Yes, so all good stuff for them.
Because we are an independent station, aren't we? And we don't have any adverts. We rely on donations from the public. So if you can spare sort of loose change, like the price of a cup of coffee, then just go to RadioReverb.com and there's a donate button on the website. And we really do appreciate any donations that you could send our way. And it helps keep the lights on here at HIV Towers.
Towers, no, Radio Reverb Towers.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah. Well, that's just true. We're part of it.
I mean, there's so many different
shows.
We're in
the room cupboard.
Yeah. I feel like Graham Gordon the Gopher. Anyway,
right,
people will know who that is. Yeah, there's so many different kinds of shows on Radio Reverb, so it's good to keep everything alive and
it's local and it's for the people of Brighton and Hove. But this show is for everybody affected by HIV.
Yes,
whether
absolutely.
Whether you're living with it or you're affected by it, not just in Brighton and Hove, but nationally and internationally.
Yes.
And we do have listeners that listen from all over the world. And as I said, you know, thank you for those. I mean, we've got some... I just wanted to do a shout-out to some listeners in America.
Oh, yeah, please do, yeah.
So we've got some listeners in Tacoma, Washington State, I believe. And... we also have some listeners in Huntersville, North Carolina.
Brilliant.
So thanks for tuning in and listening to us and downloading our podcast. Please do tell your friends about us.
Absolutely. And if you want to contact us, the information, you know, just email us. And, we can...
Yeah, we love hearing from you.
Absolutely.
It's your show, not ours.
Yes, absolutely. So we're just going to talk about yesterday, aren't we, a little bit?
Yes, yes.
Would you like to lead the conversation?
Yes. So I mentioned Fast Track Cities. Now, Fast Track Cities is an initiative... I think that was planned by the United Nations, UNAIDS.
Yes.
And that was to sort of really get cities that were fighting HIV to talk to each other and share resources and information. So cities from all over the world have signed up to what was known as the Paris Declaration.
Okay.
Yep. And Brighton and Hove was the first city in the UK to sign up to that. So we're... a little bit of a feather in our cap. We beat London and Manchester to it as well.
Yeah.
But there's a slight difference with Brighton and Hove, excuse me, in that our mayor, who signed up to the Paris Declaration, doesn't actually have sort of responsibilities for budgets as such. Our mayor is more of a figurehead. But in sort of cities like New York and Paris and Munich, the mayors there can have a direct influence on how HIV is treated.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's around the world, isn't it? There's different
cities.
Yeah.
So we have our own. So there are goals with the Fast Track Cities. Can you tell us what the goals are, Josh?
Yeah, it's 90-90-90, isn't it?
It is. 95? Yes.
Yeah. So it's 90% undetectable.
Yeah.
90% on treatment.
Yes.
On effective treatment.
Yeah.
And the other one, you're going to have to remind
90% diagnosed. So that's a slightly reverse order.
Yeah, that's the one.
So get 90% of people diagnosed and 90% of those onto treatment as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And 90% of those virally suppressed. And what is the good news that Brighton and Hove can share?
We're well over that, aren't we?
We have beat those targets by a milestone.
Yes,
and
that's
that is really due to fantastic medical care we receive in Brighton and Hove and the local areas and our community trust hospitals.
Yeah.
University hospitals, I beg your pardon. And we're aiming to sort of the goal is the 2030 goals is to reduce HIV transmissions to zero, and this is a new global thing because some cities have done fantastic.
Yeah. I suppose across the world, it's different countries have different ways of dealing with HIV and health and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I suppose that some countries won't put as much energy into it, will they, do you think?
Well, of course. Well, I mean, for Brighton and Hove, for example, we know that 85% of people diagnosed in Brighton and Hove are white gay men.
Right.
Obviously, in a city like Johannesburg, that's going to be a completely different mix of people. You're going to have a lot more heterosexual people, and obviously mostly black are going to be the people that are living with HIV.
Yeah.
But you know, we do need to sort of push our resources to the people that are sort of underrepresented or hard to reach, is a term that used to be used.
And who are they, David?
So white heterosexual men,
yeah,
and black heterosexual men, white heterosexual women, and black heterosexual women, younger people, they're particularly suffering with mental health problems, more so than in previous generations. So getting them. To get tested is really important, and getting them onto on treatment and living a healthy life. As we all know, if you get onto treatment and get undetectable, we can expect to live a normal life.
Yes, it was interesting yesterday, wasn't it? The stigma
event.
Yes. Just what came up about what stops people from testing and what stops people from wanted to know the status, and a lot of ideas came out, weren't there?
Yeah, and you get people that are diagnosed with HIV, and they for various different reasons they drop out of care.
I found that really kind of interesting.
That
actually,
was interesting, So people that just sort of disengage. I mean, there might be many reasons. I mean, it might be homelessness, it might be sort of chaotic lifestyle, it might be due to problems within the home,
family circumstances.
Family circumstances. Yeah, you might be somebody that's in a domestically dangerous situation, you might be being coerced or controlled.
But also, I mean, it's like they might not want anyone to know, or they find going to a clinic difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know I did at the beginning when I got diagnosed. Mm. Because I was a barber, so I was in this community cutting people's hair, and I really didn't want to go to the... It took me 5 years.
Mm. Really?
After being diagnosed, to get to go to the clinic and to get onto treatment.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I didn't engage.
I know someone that refused to go to clinic during normal operating hours and would only go literally as they were closing their doors and had to use a separate entrance because the fear of being discovered was so great. And that's it's a phobia, really. It's an irrational fear.
But it shows you, though, David, doesn't it? It shows you how much stigma does affect people and how how society deals with it and talks about it can make people not
that,
do anything.
I think that fear is a legacy of what we saw in the 1980s. The government, I mean, Lord Fowler, to his credit, Lord Norman Fowler, pushed against Margaret Thatcher, who didn't want to tell people about HIV and AIDS. And he insisted that the only way to inform the public was to send a leaflet to every single address in the country. But that, you know... That campaign was really effective, but what was it based on?
Oh, fear.
Fear. So they used fear as a motivating tool, which was really effective, and we didn't see the rise in HIV infections that we thought we were going to see. So it worked, but it highly stigmatized everybody
created
living
a lot
and affected by HIV, didn't it just?
Maybe that's a way, because we were like brainstorming, weren't we, in the event yesterday about how to communicate to get a test, how to get to the groups that aren't testing.
Yeah, yeah.
And how can we do that? So there was a lot of, a lot of people shunned the advert at the beginning of the 80s, wasn't it? The AIDS tombstone. Yeah, so it meant, getting a new leaflet out to everyone, but doing it in a way that's it's.
Yeah, there were people that around in the 1980s that were maybe married in a long-term relationship, and they thought, we're monogamous, that's not going to affect us. And then, 20, 30, 40 years later, they're divorced or their partner's passed away, and they think, they're free and liberated. They've gone through the menopause, for example, and they think, I don't have to worry about pregnancy anymore. But you still have to be mindful about HIV and to be aware of how it is transmitted. And what is the only way really to find out is to get tested, isn't it?
Yeah, but so this came up again yesterday. How do you get people to
test
who don't want to go to these places?
Yeah.
Like in Brighton, we've got the vending machines. So in all different locations, like the library.
And apparently 9 different locations within the city, the Martin Fisher Foundation has put these vending machines. And no, they're not just for HIV testing, they're for STI, sexually transmitted infection testing as well.
Yeah, I was thinking when I came in that it's not just about people being scared of HIV and what that looks like to them, and it's about sex, isn't it?
Yeah, people are still quite frightened about sex, aren't they? Yeah. Well, and that affects different parts of the community as well, doesn't it? So some communities are more open and more sexually not prevalent, that's the wrong word, but gay men have a lot of sex. Generally speaking, in my 20s, I was busy. I'm not so busy now. In fact, I'm no. Not at all busy now. In fact, it's good to know when I do go to the clinic, they say, would you like a sexual health test? And I've turned them down for years now because there's been no need.
What's the point?
What's
the point?
It's nothing's changed.
Yeah, but at least you're going.
And it's good to be asked as well.
But I know of people who are scared just to get the results as well. So I know I've got a friend who doesn't want to know. So
and it's good to maybe go with a friend. I mean, I when I got my diagnosis, this was in 1993. A friend came with me because I'd been along with him to his diagnosis. It really did help just have somebody with me. That actually makes me remember something that Sue mentioned at the end of the last episode is you are not alone.
Yeah.
And this show and all the other organisations within the city and nationwide and globally, there are lots of people with HIV that are happy to be advocates for people new on this journey.
But then that brings up another subject, is that people who aren't in Brighton or in those big cities that have that support system, people are living in rural areas who might feel isolated.
Yeah.
And they can, it's how do we get to supporting
the
them.
And that's, I think, we know, and again, with a feather in our cap, that I think that the benefits of radio is that we can reach into rural areas and people's phones. Even if they haven't got internet access, they can still listen to us on the radio.
Yeah, that's true. And also things like, I thought the Sussex Beacon and Lunch Positive are doing things a bit more out in the community, aren't they?
They are. I mean, we know that Lunch Positive has an Eastbourne group, they have a Sea Haven group, they're working on having a Worthing group. I know the Sussex Beacon are having hubs now for care in places like Crawley, because it's still part of Sussex, but a very different mix, less gay men, more black population there. And changing their way they deliver services to meet the different communities.
Yeah, so it's happening.
It's great. It is. Should we make some progress?
Yes, absolutely. So just to mention that we've got a couple of audio clips, haven't we, coming up?
Yes, we do.
One's from Terence Higgins Trust and one's from Lunch Positive. It's just, what do they call them? They're just like...
Adverts, I guess.
They have adverts for this, but it's people talking.
So even though I said there's a station we don't have adverts, these are actually informational films.
These are promoting... HIV organisations.
Yes.
So, what we're going to do is we're going to have a song, which is one of your Tom Grennan one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so if you want to introduce that. And then we'll go straight into the Terence Higgins Trust audio clip.
Yes. So the song we're going to be listening to now is going to be called Boys Don't Cry, and it's by Tom Grennan.
I'll see you after the video.
Radio Reverb.
Fine. Radio Reverb.
Too often people are in the dark about HIV. The important work of the Terence Higgins Trust is so often done behind closed doors. Because we could be the first country in the world to stop the onward transmission of HIV, and we could do it by 2030. That's where our services and our important work comes in. Whether it's a test that gets sent to your home, that counselling session that could change your life, whether it's calling our confidential helpline THT Direct, our services change people's lives. We can't end new cases of HIV by 2030 if 5,500 people are living with HIV but don't know it and desperately need a test. We can't end new cases by 2030 if 13,000 diagnosed people with HIV don't take their medication due to stigma. And we can't end new cases by 2030 if two-thirds of Britons wouldn't kiss somebody living with HIV, even though it's not a transmission route, because that stigma persists. Even if our services are provided behind closed doors, we must ensure our door is never closed to somebody who needs us.
Hello, I'm Hamish. I'd started to get unwell for a few months. I got an eye infection and I realised I needed to take a test. Took an HIV test, and unlike most people, it came back positive, and it was the biggest shock of my life. The first place I called was Terence Higgins Trust. It was like a lifeline for me in the hours and the days after I was diagnosed. I remember calling the helpline and speaking to Stefan, a really, really lovely person who had the answers to my questions and supported me. I was feeling like I wasn't living in my body. Speaking with Terence Higgins Trust completely changed my life. It gave me hope when I felt hopeless. It supported me through the most difficult time of my life.
Hello, my name's Ollie. I was cycling through London, a plastic bottle got caught in my tyre, and I hit a brick wall. I ended up in A&E, getting all the care and support I needed. I went through routine tests and checks. As part of that, took a blood test. What I didn't know at the time was they were part of an opt-out testing program. That is what changed my life and ended up with me being diagnosed with HIV. For me, it was a sliding doors moment. I was in A&E in a different location just 1 year prior. Those tests weren't offered, so that opportunity was missed. It could have been another 5 or 10 years when I started presenting with actual illnesses as a result of my HIV. By that point, it would have been too late. The test that changed and saved my life only existed because of the Terence Higgins Trust.
Hello, my name is Abigail. When I was diagnosed with HIV, I just saw death. My world fell apart and I was referred to THT. I knew it was just a building on the street, but in my mind, it represented HIV. So I'll go past the door a couple of times and make sure no one is watching me. And then I'll press my body onto the door and knock the door, hoping someone open it quickly. That was my own self-stigma. But the moment that door opened, I felt at home. I felt human. It felt natural. Self-stigma was worse because it stopped me doing things I could have done those times. And family members didn't know what to do with me because here I am bringing this to their door, which means I'm tarnishing the whole family. So it was very, very hard. Terence Higgins, trust to me, is a brother that I never have.
Only £1 in 5 we receive comes from the government.
All the rest comes from our friends and supporters and people like you.
We can do something amazing
to end new cases by 2030
and be the first country in the world to do that.
But it starts with a test.
It starts with a phone call to THT Direct.
It starts with meeting someone living with HIV.
And it starts with all the services we provide.
From counselling,
my community,
our helpline,
our free testing,
and are lobbying the government to make systemic change.
The services that change lives are down to you.
Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area and also on DAB Plus Radio. The HIV Hour, touching hearts, changing minds, sharing stories.
Great.
And listeners, did you recognise some of the
voices?
So we had the wonderful Agony Auntie, who will be joining our team very, very soon, Abigail. And I was fascinated to hear what Ollie was talking about in the bit we just listened to.
Is that the opt-out testing?
Yeah. So he fell off his bike, basically ended up in A&E. And then from then, he had an opt-out test, and they discovered that he was living with HIV. And now he's on treatment. He's virally undetectable.
It's working, isn't it?
Cannot pass it on.
Yeah.
You know, that just, you know, just those moments where we meet health professionals. But I think it's not, and something that occurred yesterday, or people were talking about yesterday at the stigma event, is what about other health venues, but not necessarily medical. So if you go to a hairdresser's or a barber's, I mean, barbers traditionally used to ask, would you like anything for the weekend,
yes,
sir? And
yes.
You know, that's where you get your condoms from back in the day. But how about, what do listeners think about being offered a finger prick HIV test? Because lots of barbers now, since COVID, only have one person in the barbershop at a time, to, you know, for distancing and social things. So you've got one intimate relationship with your barber or with your hairdresser, obviously with your dentist as well. Your dentist might find it useful to know that you're living with HIV, so that, you know, you might have some gum disease that might be indicative of living with HIV. What about, also you mentioned, I think, earlier about going to the gym.
Well, there's lots of venues,
personal,
isn't
personal
there?
Trainers, yeah, different places. Anywhere where there's health happening, or, and it doesn't have to be offering HIV tests there, but just giving information about where to get an HIV test from.
See, the gyms would be a good place for the test, the vending machines, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, that's another really good
idea. Yeah, so you could do it in a little quiet place where,
yeah, not, have
not
it,
in the gym, but maybe in the changing rooms,
somewhere discreet.
Yeah. I mean, and also, you know, the back of toilet doors. I mean, half of the population has to sit down to have a wee. So why not put information on the back of toilet doors?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, we have our posters on the back of doors at the Lawson Unit.
We do, yes, we do.
Of toilet doors, so people can see it.
Yeah.
Also, they were talking about Amex Stadium and
The football stadium.
Cricket grounds, just to have adverts up on the screens about tests.
Yeah, on the screens.
Just normalising
testing,
not putting the barriers up to stop people from going, just normalising it. with the community.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's with our logo, it's like sharing stories. If we talk about living with HIV and our lived experience, and just talk about it normally and not sensationalise it, and just, you know, I mean, we've got the fantastic Martin Fisher bus that goes through.
Yeah,
I wonder
if people have seen that. Yeah,
areas. And you know, they're sitting on the bus and they're just their eyes of gaze looking around at the adverts, but there's no adverts inside the bus. It's all HIV information, and sexual health information. Yeah.
Be interesting to see how many of people have watched it, looked at it, and it's provoked something in the minds.
I mean, there are thousands of passenger journeys every day that go on that bus, and the bus company is really good at getting in touch with the council now and saying, we know World AIDS Day is coming up, is there anything we can do, is there any particular route you'd like us to put this bus on? And it's really great that, you know, professional organisations are really taking on, and something we haven't mentioned is the HIV Confident Charter.
That's what I was going to mention,
Would you like to tell us a little bit about that? So, in a nutshell, it's really just encouraging health employers and employees to be confident about HIV. And so I think we'll have a feature about that soon. So I think we need to learn a bit more about it.
Yeah,
ourselves.
Because it was the council, wasn't it? Is it Mitch who?
Yes. We're also working with Eileen Nixon and others at the Fast Track Cities.
Get somebody on to talk about it, and
I think that'd be a brilliant idea. So we've got some big employers in Brighton and Hove. So American Express is one of them, and of course they sponsor, as you quite rightly said, the American Express Stadium for Brighton and Hove Albion Football Club.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the capacity of that is, but let's say, for example, it's 20,000 people. But that's 20,000 people that mostly heterosexual men.
Oh yeah,
not always.
What happens up there? I don't know.
I think they play football.
Oh, I'm
is that what you meant?
I'm only joking.
All right. Well, no, but they have concerts there as well, don't they?
Yeah,
I mean, Elton John has performed at the Sussex County Cricket Ground.
Yeah, So that'd be a good place as well.
Yeah. So sports centres, we have several sports centres across the city.
Yeah.
I actually go to an HIV swimming group, which I'll mention later.
Oh, yes, please do. Yeah, yeah.
So we could have information in the changing rooms of the King Alfred Centre and the Prince Regent Centre where the swimming pools are.
Yeah. Mm. Again, like I said earlier, it's normalising sex, talking about sex, talking about that it's really important to get to be informed.
Yes. It's good to get it out there, isn't it?
Listeners, David made me realise today that I say it every week. What is it?
Nearly. It's good to get it out there.
Yeah, and when he told me that, I thought, I'm going to say it today, and I actually forgot.
I beat you to it.
But it's good to get it out there.
It is. To get that information out there. And it is, because education is power, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, I know one good thing that the 1980s Tombstone adverts did say was "Don't die of ignorance."
Yeah,
inform yourself, take informed decisions before you have sex. So we have pre-exposure prophylactics, which can prevent HIV. It's the same drugs that we take living with HIV, but you just take them before sex, and you can even have them as injections soon.
There are so many things.
Is it available as an injectable now?
I think that's somebody we want to get on from the Claude Nicol, because they do PrEP injections up there, I think.
There's an organisation called PrEPster as well. I know particularly someone that we can maybe get on the show. So if you have ideas of who you'd like to get on the show to talk about anything to do with HIV, please do get in touch with us at info@hivhour.org.uk.
But PrEP is such a game changer, and it's amazing how many people don't know about PrEP.
Yeah.
And that's shocking, because it's
it is available, but just people aren't taking it up.
Yeah, and again, why?
I mean, gay men are taking it up.
Yeah, but why aren't the rest of the population?
I don't know. And I think that's what was recognised in the National HIV Action Plan for England, is that, you know, more needs to be done to roll out PrEP to women.
Yeah. Again, people it's fear and don't want to. I think if it doesn't affect you, or you think anything that doesn't affect you, you don't think about
it. There's a great slogan on the Martin Fisher bus, right along the side of it, on the outside. It's HIV isn't scary anymore.
Yeah.
I think that's just a brilliant tagline, because it shouldn't be.
No.
And it need not be. So if you know somebody that's scared of HIV, please do give them the facts, or point them to a direction where they can get the information and hopefully get tested. And hopefully they're not living with HIV, but if they are, they can get onto treatment. And it's no bother after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Support out there.
There is.
And I was going to say my catchphrase, but I've forgotten it.
Well, it's good to get it out there.
I'm going to get a T-shirt.
Have I got a catchphrase? If listeners, if you can spot something that I say every week, apart from welcome to the HIV hour, please do get in touch and I will award you a Martin Fisher Foundation bus T-shirt.
Oh, that's a
competition
nice,
prize.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
How do they get in contact with you then?
info@hivhour.org.uk.
Brilliant. So we're just going to do a couple of stories, aren't we? I saw this today. So a new report from the National AIDS Trust has urged UK governments to step up action for young people living with HIV, warning that many are facing poorer life satisfaction, heightened mental health needs and significant barriers to care. So the report, which is called Supporting the Next Generation, Improving the Quality of Life of Young Adults Living with HIV, is developed in partnership with young people. So that's a good thing. Talking to them.
Involved in...
And argues that their needs must be prioritised in the UK, is to meet its goal of ending new HIV transmissions by 2030.
Yeah.
So that was launched on the 3rd of March.
Oh, really?
So
quite new.
Yeah, alongside Protecting Your Rights, which is a legal rights toolkit to help young people living with HIV understand and assert their rights in healthcare, education, employment, and other settings.
Brilliant. It's well worth visiting their website. If you don't know it, it's a National AIDS Trust, so that's www.nat.org.uk, and there's lots of information on there.
I'll just read this, David, a little bit. So the report highlights that young people aged between 18 to 34 report the lowest satisfaction with their HIV care compared with any other age group.
Oh. So these are people already living with HIV.
Yeah, so they're
not happy with their care.
Yeah, so wonder again what's going on there.
I'd like to know more.
Yeah, so to address these issues, the charity is calling for investment in youth-friendly clinics and support services, expanded education across the NHS, and wider public sector to tackle misinformation and stigma, and renewed government strategies to help young people achieve economic stability through housing, employment, and education programs. The report also emphasises the importance of involving young people living with HIV in designing policy solutions, research and performance measures. I suppose it's getting people involved, isn't it? And maybe they just feel a bit out of the loop. I don't know.
So HIV prevention information has been out there for a long time, since the early days of just throwing condoms at people.
Yeah.
And now we can throw PrEP at people and other such things. But... We know in Brighton and Hove, over 50% of people living with HIV are over 50. So young people are in a minority, aren't they? So maybe we do need to look at find out what their needs are.
Yeah,
And involving people in setting up policy is so important, isn't it?
As you say, coming into these 2030 goals, young people are... They're coming up, aren't they? So it's like keeping that message going after 2030, isn't it?
Yes, and beyond. Yeah, no, nothing. It doesn't. Everything just doesn't stop at 2030. We're carrying
What's
on.
What's going to happen after that? Everything stops.
No, we want to be really the last people standing with HIV. We don't want any new transmissions.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We will become an aging population of patients. And I hope that is the case. If young people aren't getting the information, that's something that schools should be looking into and the education system. And obviously it might be mental health related as well, about low self-esteem. And also you've got the rise of social media and people being forced or persuaded, influenced, I hate that word, into having the perfect body or this, you must be that or that. Mm. And if you don't have the perfect body, if you've got a crooked tooth or something, and you might be thinking poorly of yourself and maybe not make the best decisions.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been there, haven't we?
So
as when we're
mental
younger.
Health,
But I think the, with Sue, who's a presenter on the show, but she works for Terence Higgins Positive Voices at their schools. But maybe they're so busy, aren't they? They go everywhere with the Positive Voices.
And businesses as well, yes.
But maybe, as you say, it needs more...
Youth wing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a song, David.
Yes.
So we've got a second audio clip. Can you just tell our
listeners? This is from Lunch Positive.
We'll go straight into that after this song.
Lunch Positive, as people may know, has food-based and support activities from all over Brighton and Sussex. So it's here.
So that'll be after. So I'm going to play one of my songs. I've chosen "People Are People" by Depeche Mode.
Oh, lovely!
Because
people are people.
People are people, and there's a lot of not very nice things happening at the moment in the world.
So, in the world, no.
So it's like, yeah. You know, it's a good song.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Lunch Positive is not just a place for lunch, but it's a whole community.
This is just such a wonderful place.
You can ask for any help.
They got me through a very difficult time.
Lunch Positive is a charity that supports people in Brighton and Hove who are living with HIV. It provides a range of services, including an HIV lunch club, a supper group, and also some wraparound services to people with higher levels of need. We're also developing new services such as outreach and a befriending service. It's run and provided by other people with HIV.
I've been HIV positive for 30 years. When I walked in, it was like walking into a room full of friends.
When I first came to Brighton, I just got out of jail. I was on 50 quid a week benefit. I had a brief period of street homelessness. So I made an effort, came here. A hot meal a week was my big meal of the week.
I live by myself, and with HIV, that can be isolating. It's supportive in a community level.
I've had HIV from before the time when there were drugs to treat it. I almost died from it. We can openly talk really easily.
Lunch Positive really helped being able to get out and come down and meet friends.
This is a collaborative impact event between the University of Sussex and Lunch Positive to look at the services that they provided to people living with HIV during the pandemic. The focus groups today will allow us to understand those experiences and also think about what support needs are required by people living with HIV so that we can look at ensuring their needs are met in the future.
During lockdown, we've been providing an outreach support, which has involved preparing and cooking food, delivering that to people at home, along with groceries.
Hi, you're welcome, I'll see you next week.
We've also provided a winter support program, helping people with heating and other essential supplies. We've also provided a companionship telephone call service and providing emotional support.
Lockdown has hugely impacted the lives of our patients and ourselves. We weren't able to see any patients. I think Lunch Positive had been a lifesaver.
I was shielding. I was getting the food parcels. It was some sort of contact with the outside world, which I didn't have.
I get a weekly phone call. When you haven't heard anybody else's voice but your own for a week, that makes a huge difference.
It's really important to see the value of the service that Lunch Positive is providing in terms of meeting mental health needs and addressing social isolation.
It's helped my anxieties go down, it's helped my confidence come back up again.
I don't know what we would have done without them.
I am learning at the grand old age of 59 to be a social being. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, that was nice, wasn't it?
It was lovely.
Yeah, welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM. My name's Josh, and I'm with my good mate, David.
Hello, Joshy. Hello, listeners.
Hello, listeners. Yes, thanks for tuning in on this lovely Thursday evening. Yeah, that was interesting, isn't it? Because all these...
It was nice to hear all those different service users from Lunch Positive, all those different voices. And obviously, it's from a video, but you can tell that there's quite a variety of different community groups that are represented in that video. And they really do get benefit from going to Lunch Positive. I've been many, many times over the 15 years or more that they've been operating, and they've really helped me, Lunch Positive. So a big shout out to Gary Partridge.
Yeah, thanks, Gary.
Yeah, and it was lovely to meet Sally Clark again, who's been on the show to talk about her well-being work with Lunch Positive. So that's really pioneering work.
Yeah, so she's there to help.
Yeah, so that's helping people that are disengaged with care and falling through the gaps in services between different organisations. So, right. Excellent work there.
Brilliant. So a big community news, haven't we?
Yes.
Sussex Beacon, do you want to talk about that?
So Sussex Beacon have recently had their half marathon. It's the first weekend of March, wasn't it?
Yes.
That's the major fundraising activity for them. Without the half marathon funds that they receive that they would be very difficult to operate. So it broke all records compared to previous races. They've got a special team called Team Beacon. These are people who solely raise money for the Sussex Beacon. I mean, being a half marathon that's open to all members of the public, you can get people that are raising money for Macmillan or for, prostate cancer or for Water Aid, or all different charities are represented. But there's a team of 800 runners that run just to raise money for the Sussex Beacon themselves.
And they're famous people doing it.
Yeah, so the press release that they very kindly sent us this week is so far the Team Beacon runners have raised over £300,000 at this year's event.
Right.
It was great to see some celebrity involvement in the half marathon. So there were some gladiators from the TV show Gladiators that were there. And also the person that opened the race was the wonderful Ollie Alexander, who people remember from It's the Sin.
Yeah,
fantastic.
We tried to get Ollie on, didn't we?
We did try to speak to him, but unfortunately it didn't happen.
But maybe next time.
Yes, it'd be lovely. So, and he's very supportive of the Sussex Beacon.
Yeah.
And obviously with his role as the character in It's a Sin, that broke new ground for television as well.
Yeah.
And showing what it was like back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so well done to the Sussex Beacon. They're having a little bit of a rest for a couple of weeks, but no doubt the registrations for next year's race will be opening soon.
Well, there's the full marathon, but did they do anything then?
Can raise money at any marathon for the Sussex Beacon. I'm sure if you get in touch with the fundraising team there, so that's fundraising@sussexbeacon.org.uk if you want to raise money for the Sussex Beacon. And of course, they should be reopening the inpatient unit quite soon.
So the Brighton AIDS Memorial. So the Centre for Arts and Wellbeing are delighted to be supporting the Brighton AIDS Memorial panels from the AIDS UK Memorial Quilt.
Oh yeah, the exhibition.
That's Harry Hillary has been part of that, isn't he? Well done, Harry. Mm. So it's been hung. I think it's already started actually, and that's at Elm House.
Elm House. Yeah.
From the 13th to the 27th of March.
Mm-hmm.
The launch event's already gone. So, do check that out. There's lots of pictures and, it's great. So that's at the University of Brighton, the Centre for Arts and Wellbeing.
Mm.
Do check that out.
Great.
You were going to talk about a project you're involved
so,
in.
So this is actually part of the Sussex Beacon. So people may remember, living in Brighton Hove, that there used to be a charity called Peer Action.
Yes.
Now, Peer Action is no more as a charity, but the Sussex Beacon is very kindly going to be an umbrella for what it is transforming into. So the new organisation is a community group is going to be called Peer Link.
Oh, brilliant.
And I can't say an awful lot about it at the moment because there's going to be a soft launch coming up soon and then it'll be an official big launch later. But this is activities and events that are organised by people living HIV for people living with and affected by HIV.
Yeah.
So I know in the pipeline they're going to be having a monthly Sunday roast lunch.
Oh, great.
There might be things like board game evenings, bowling, activities like that, but also there'll be health and wellbeing activities. So I am actually currently involved in a swimming group which meets twice a week, and so that's solely for people living with and affected by HIV.
Yeah.
And we very discreetly meet at the King Alfred Centre swimming pool in Hove. And not only are Thursdays a fantastic day to listen to the HIV hour in an evening, but why not start the morning off with an early morning swimming at the King Alfred Centre? So we meet at the King Alfred Centre car park every Thursday. In Hove, yeah, 8:15 a.m. There are concessionary sort of swims available if you fill in a little form if you're on qualifying benefits from the DWP.
So I
think a normal swim's about £6 or £7, but a discounted swim's about £3.50.
Okay.
So I'm very lucky to be one of the £3.50 swimmers. So for £3.50 you get to have a nice swim. It's not competitive at all. You don't have to be a good swimmer. I swim with a foam noodle.
I was going to say, do you prefer arm bands?
I have a noodle. Well, you can bring your own armbands. I know. So one of our swimmers this week was using a float, like a paddleboard. I think they're called kickboards now.
Oh, yeah, yes.
To help in strengthen his legs because he's recovering from coming out of a coma a couple of years ago. So he's having to learn. He's learned how to walk again, and his swimming's helping him.
Yeah.
So I swim 20 lengths, but some people just swim 8 lengths, or they swim until they're tired enough. So we normally swim for about half an hour, and then if the weather's nice, we go to the Lex's Cafe or Lex's Kiosk on the seafront.
That's right.
It's open to everybody if you're living with HIV. We do have a WhatsApp group, but I don't want to give my mobile phone number out on air. But please, if you would like to come along, there is a WhatsApp group. But I know not everybody's a big fan of WhatsApp, so I can text you or email you. But if you email us at info@hivhour.org.uk, that's every Thursday at 8:15 a.m. And we also swim on Tuesday lunchtimes. So if you're more of a lunchtime person, not so much of an early bird, then please get in touch with me.
I might come along to it.
I fancy
a later one. It's only because I live in Peacehaven and the traffic's terrible to get to the end.
So we do have somebody that comes all the way from Worthing.
Right.
But obviously he's an elderly gentleman in his late 70s, and he's got a bus pass, but the bus pass can't use it until 9:30 a.m.
Annoying.
But so he comes to the Tuesday lunchtime sessions.
Yeah, brilliant. That's a good one. And that's going to get, there's going to be lots of events and
stuff. So if you've got an idea for an activity that you'd like to do and share that activity with your fellows living with HIV, for example, just a walk along the seafront or a walk along the Downs, please do get in touch with us. At the moment, can you get in touch with us via the radio show?
Yeah.
And then there'll be a proper email address later that'll be attached to the Sussex Beacon that you can get involved with. So you don't have to be an organiser, you can just be a participant at these events.
And also, just to mention about the Agony Aunt as well, just quickly, David.
Yes, so our Agony Auntie will be, thank you for people that have been emailing their questions into our Agony Auntie. Stuff. There's been some questions that, as a gay man, I hadn't thought about. So please do email Agony Auntie at info@hivhour.org.uk.
And that's any questions regarding HIV?
Any questions at all.
Even if you haven't got HIV, but you know somebody who's HIV,
you might want advice for a friend.
Yes. We've come to the end of the show. Sorry, I was doing my... just keeping time going.
You were just doing your pom-pom cheerleading exercises.
No, that's next week. Thank you for tuning in. We're back in a couple of weeks, aren't we?
We are indeed.
Yeah, so it's be April then. I'm like,
yes.
Where's the time gone, David? So we finish on one of your last tracks.
So, this is a track by Sia, and it's The Greatest.
Oh, I've heard this track. Yes, thank you, and we'll see you again.
Thank you all. Bye now.
Bye.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.